all the drama that was circulating around this team last year, how Steve Nash, you know, a guy who has no head coaching experience, is handling this, not having a full or a complete roster for most of his tenure, short tenure with the Nets, to the Ben Simmons drama that came along with them getting him from Philadelphia in the James Harden trade, in which, I mean, Houston has all the Nets picks until 2027. I mean, that's a whole other conversation that started, to Kevin Durant watching Golden State winning a world championship, their fourth, now, you know, two without him, and people saying, well, now it feels like between Andrew Wiggins and Harrison Barnes, you can just plug anybody in there. Like, that conversation circling around that, to the Kyrie Irving situation, watching Boston get to a world championship, and then everything with the pandemic, and he's on a one-year pretty much deal until he hits free agency. Yeah, you tell me what other team in all sports has more pressure on them than the Brooklyn Nets.
I mean, I think there's a lot to be said there. Courtney's back with us. Now, Mad Dog, I'm going to start with you. Do you agree that Jay Will, what he's saying, that, you know, the Nets are the ones with the most pressure on them to win a championship in all of sports?
Internally, yes. You can make that argument.
Yeah.
Externally, absolutely not. People do not realize, I've lived here, Freddie's, I've been here for 40 years. The Nets are an afterthought in New York City. Mm-hmm. They're a much bigger story outside of New York City or Brooklyn than they are in Brooklyn. You know, they're last in the league in attendance. The Knicks kill them TV-wise. The Nets are not a big deal here. Yeah. I know they got Durant. I know they got Irving. They are not a big, on a day-in, day-out basis, there's not many Net fans in this area. I know that drives them crazy. Look at their history. Jersey, Comac, the Nassau Coliseum. I mean, they've been all over. Meadowlands.
Yeah,
I mean, they've been all over. I mean, they were in the NBA.
All over.
They were in the NBA final against the Lakers and the Spurs in their empty seats. I mean, they are not a big deal. So anybody who thinks they are, they do not know the New York market. The team right now that's got the most pressure on them this year in this town is the Yankees. Okay. They haven't won it. They haven't been a World Series since 2009. They are 55-20. They got Judge's contract they're going to have to deal with. The Mets are good. You know, they hate Houston. Houston's won a championship and won three pennants, a team they never beat. The Dodgers won a title. They got a huge payroll. They draw, you know, 45,000 a night. It's not even close. It's not a discussion. If the Yankees lose before they win it, I can do 2 weeks on the Yankees dropping the ball again.
Yeah.
So it's the Yankees on a day in, day. They haven't, you know, think about it. These are the New York Yankees, yeah. And they haven't been to a World Series since 2000. That's 13 years.
Right.
That makes me happy as a Red Sox.
The Red Sox have won four. Remember, that's a good point. Yeah. The Red Sox have won some titles since the Yankees have last been in a World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And the regular season puts more pressure on the Yankees because now at 55-20, and they're going to win 110 games. They got to win the World Series.
Yeah. All right.
So they have by far, it's not even close. Don't debate it. If anybody says anything, they know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Listen to him.
Oh, we're a debate
the
show.
The Yankees.
Come on.
Yankees.
It's not the Yankees. Mad Dog, it is not the Yankees. And I hear you in terms of the Brooklyn Nets and their history. You are 100% right. I go back to that Daily News headline when they made back-to-back NBA title appearances and they lost. And the headline read, what can the Knicks do to get to the New Jersey Nets at that time? I hear you from that standpoint. Yep. But I'm talking about 2022. I'm talking about 2023. When you got a polarizing guy like Kyrie Irving, when you got a polarizing guy like Kevin Durant, two guys that, let's be honest, are not liked players inside and outside of New York. Brooklyn Nets fans like them because now people are talking about them. Outside, Kevin Durant has been that villain, especially going back and forth with people on social media. Kyrie Irving is always going to have the villain hat on no matter what people think about him. That's going to be the standard operating procedure when it comes to fans, casual fans, or hardcore fans. But when you have these two polarizing figures, it makes them having the most press anybody in sports. The problem with your Yankees argument is we're not talking about the Stormtrooper Yankees. We're not talking about Steinbrenner's Yankees. We're not talking about Reggie Jackson. We're not talking about those guys. We're talking about a very likable team. Aaron Judge, you can bring him home and hang out with your parents. Giancarlo Stanton, he can bounce at the door at a bar and keep things in order. When you have an unlikable team that the Brooklyn Nets have seemed to be, and people don't want them to win a championship, when they win or if they win, there's going to be a lot of either very happy people or weeping and gnashing of teeth. If the Yankees win a World Series, Red Sox fans like Victoria Arlen don't want to hear it. They want them to stay down where they are. It is clearly, in my opinion, more than the Yankees, the Brooklyn Nets are the most pressed anybody in sports.
Courtney, we'll get to in a second. I want to interrupt her, but this is a fan thing. The fans, if the Yankees don't win this year, they will take a lot of grief. It's about time they win something, Freddie.
Because they're Yankees fans. It's because Yankees fans like you have made this whole culture.
But that's what pressure's about, though.
We're not talking about the fans feeling the pressure. But the team feeling the pressure. In the team. Yankees fans always under pressure.
Courtney, please tell me you're not going to say Yankees. Please tell me you're not going to say Yankees.
I'm not. I'm going to agree with what Freddie was saying, just from the standpoint that the Brooklyn Nets leveraged their sanity. So when you do something like that to make all of these pieces fit together and somehow work to be the best team in the East and to win a championship, yeah, there's a lot of pressure on you to make things happen and to do it now. All they just did to bring back Kyrie Irving and all of the drama that comes with that and fitting everything with Kevin Durant, making him happy, seeing if this Ben Simmons trade is actually going to pan out as a good thing. Yeah, there's a lot of pressure on them in the NBA to win a championship. They have the most pressure of any team in the league. But you both are wrong because it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the only team sports-wide that has expectations on them that are this high. Tom Brady didn't come out of retirement, guys, to make the divisional playoffs again and to lose. He's looking for his eighth ring, so the pressure that's going to be on him, that's going to be on Todd Bowles in his first year as the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to get this team past the likes of the Green Bay Packers, the Los Angeles Rams, among the powerhouse teams in the NFC. It's immense on this team. Like, Tampa Bay, if they don't win a championship this year, after all Tom Brady did to come back out of retirement, how are we going to remember this swan song of Tom Brady's career? Is he going to have to play until he's 50 to meet those expectations? So, no. There is no way you can make me think any other team in sports right now has higher expectations and more pressure on them than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh, no.
I'm with Courtney.
No,
let's go.
No.
Yes.
He won a championship 2 years ago, and he played well against the Rams. If Brady plays well, what's the pressure? There's nothing there.
Come on now. Exactly.
No, but it's not about playing well.
Absolutely.
It's not about just
no way
well.
Tom Brady has more pressure.
But
no way.
About 2 years.
Come on. I'm with you.
If Brady goes 6-11, he's not going to be the greatest quarterback of all time?
No,
sure.
He still is, but he's going to go out with the win.
But that's what it is. You have to, if you are already the greatest quarterback of all time, no matter what you do this year, what difference does it make?
Courtney, he doesn't have the most pressure of anybody in the NFL. That's Aaron Rodgers of Green Bay for all that Aaron Rodgers has done.
Yeah. Hey, I love this guy.
See, there you go.
they have the second best odds right now to win a Super Bowl. Nobody's giving that same respect or those same expectations to a team that just lost its best receiver in Devontae Adams. So that's why Green Bay is not in that argument. How are we going to remember the final years of Tom Brady's career, Mad Dog, if he ends up losing a Super Bowl this year? He didn't come back to make it to the divisional playoffs and then lose. He came back to win a Super Bowl. Otherwise, what is he doing?
Nah.
Out of retirement.
2 years
ago.
If they lose 45-41 in L.A. in a NFC Championship game, where's the pressure on Brady? He played great against the Rams. Nobody said a word.
He still didn't win the championship.
It's not about Brady.
Yeah,
he's won the seven titles.
Yeah.
You can't
you don't have pressure with seven titles. Exactly. That doesn't match up.
The Yankees haven't won.
Winning is the expectation.
Yeah.
Winning is the expectation for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
And
when you have a quarterback who has won seven rings, he's expecting his eighth. Everybody on that team he holds accountable of reaching his goal. It may not be their own individual goal. They might be happy, like Mad Dog said, of getting to the NFC Championship and losing 45-41 to the Los Angeles Rams, knowing that they gave their best effort. Tom Brady is not that guy. Those expectations from the GOAT extend to everyone else on that team. So they're all going to be feeling it. And if they don't assume all of those responsibilities that come with being Tom Brady's teammate this year, they're not going to be able to reach the level that he expects his team to do. So anything short of a championship for Tom Brady this season, after everything he did to come back, is a failure.
Well, but that's for Brady individually.
Yes.
This is about a team. This is not about a
He is the captain of that entire ship.
They got two rings. They won two Super Bowls, and they won in. I don't buy Tampa.
Yeah,
and Courtney does a great job.
Are you still riding the Yankees train?
It's not Tampa. And it's not the Nets either. I'm surprised
It's definitely the Brooklyn Nets. It's more than both of your teams.
It's
clearly
about
them.
The fans. fans. Who's going to give the Nets grief if they lose? You and me? Who cares?
You know who cares? Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving do, because they're tired of getting grief from everybody. They really are. Mm. They're going to care about that, because let them not win a championship and they got to hear from you or Stephen A. Smith. Kevin Durant might have 8 burner accounts to come back at you guys. They clearly will pay attention.
Stop with that, too.
Well, that's a whole nother conversation.
Go watch Gaslit with John Mitchell and Morgan Mitchell.
We've got to take it to a break. Coming up, the Suns were bounced by Luka and the Mavs in a game.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back to First Take. It's time for a quick take. Serena Williams was ousted in the first round of Wimbledon by 115th ranked Harmony Tan yesterday. Williams had not competed in a singles event since she got injured last June. Mad Dog, Serena is now 40. Will she ever win a major again?
Oh, absolutely not. I don't see that at all. She provides such great drama, though. This was a tremendous sporting event. It really was. And Serena had a match point in the third set, and she was up 4-0 in the tiebreaker. Now, it's a 10-point tiebreaker. Breaker this year. It's not 8 first to 7, it's first to 10. So it's not as quite an advantage, but that's a terrible loss. But here's what Serena's got to do. Is she want to be a tennis player or not? She's 40 years of age. You can't show up and play one match in a year and expect to win, even against somebody like Harmony Tan. So we will find out what her commitment is, because she needs to play a couple of tournaments this summer before the U.S. Open. You almost get the idea, Freddie, that Serena's playing for her brand.
That's a great point.
Instead of playing to go out there and win tournaments.
Yeah, that's a great point, because at 40 years of age, if you're not going to be in that kind of shape, playing a doubles tournament the week before.
That's two matches,
and you're not doing all the work because you got somebody helping you out. And she's made 4 finals since winning her last major in 2017, the Australian Open. She has not been able to push through. She got 23 in her mind trying to get to Margaret Court. But you're right. You got to pick one or the other. If you're going to commit, you got to play matches. If you're not, it's okay to walk away. You've done so much for the game of tennis. You don't have to prove anything else to anybody unless you want to prove something to yourself if you're Serena Williams.
Well, here's the problem with Serena. The more times she loses in these first round matches, it's going to hurt her historical legacy.
That's a great point.
So that's another issue. I mean, this was, but again, let me just highlight this one more time. Freddie and I were talking about this before the show. This was a tremendous event.
Great theater.
Yes.
This wasn't anything that wasn't, I'm not making this up. This tennis match, which is over 3 hours, was phenomenal to watch. And then you had Nadal play beforehand. Mm-hmm. That's a tremendous ESPN. You got Nadal at 11 and you got Serena at 3.
Yeah.
Doesn't get any better than that, baby.
But now you need Coco Gauff to make a run.
That's another point.
ESPN.
You know, he is a good tennis.
He's a good,
how do you like
he's
music? He's
good
singing Crosby, he's still good.
All right, let's sing our way to the association, because the Phoenix Suns, DeAndre Ayton is about to become a restricted free agent, and all NBA teams can start to make offers with the Suns being able to match. However, looking at max contract options, the Suns would have to give Ayton an extra year and almost $3 million more per season compared to the rest of the NBA. Here's more from our very own Adrian Wojnarowski on Phoenix and their options with Ayton.
I think there's a lot of sign-and-trade options, scenarios out there that they'll be able to start working through once we get the Thursday. The Suns have had a reluctance to give DeAndre Ayton a max contract, but I do believe it's available to him out in the marketplace. Can they find a package of assets back that makes sense for them?
All right, Courtney, I'm going to start with you. Is the Suns championship window closing very quickly?
It doesn't have to close if they're aggressive in what they do in free agency. Let's not forget, this is a team that was first in net rating, fifth in offense, third in defense, and fourth in effective field goal percentage last season. Last I checked, that makes a very good basketball team. But the way that they played against Dallas, that's our lasting memory of Chris Paul at 37 years old, absolutely disappearing in that series. Devin Booker wasn't great either. Like, they have a lot of holes that they have to fix in order to upgrade this roster to contend in the West. Now, what Woj was saying about DeAndre Ayton is interesting. I like the idea of a sign and trade for the Phoenix Suns. I'm just not so sure that you're going to get a star player in return. But if you can get some role players, get some guys that can fill out the rotation for the Phoenix Suns, I say do it. because it's clear that there's a reluctance from this team to give Ayton what he's eligible for on the rookie max extension. So if you can find another team, and trust me, there's plenty that see what this guy did 2 years ago in their run to the NBA Finals in the way that he played against other big men, there's going to be teams that want a young, talented center in the fold. So I think that they could get a considerable package back. I'm just not so sure in terms of finding another star to go alongside Chris Paul at this point of his career, and also to align with Devin Booker, that you're going to get that. But if you want to contend in the West, you have to be aggressive in free agency and throughout the rest of this offseason if you're the Phoenix Suns, because everybody else will pass you up because everybody else is getting better.
I'm not sure what Phoenix should do. It's a tricky call. For whatever the reason, you would think this would be a no-brainer. He's a young center. He's played pretty well, and they're thinking about not giving him what he wants from a max standpoint. Yeah. Maybe they know more about the player than we do.
Yep.
You got to keep that in mind. But he's got a lot of talent. He's good going to the basket. He can make a 12-foot jump shot. He's athletic. I don't think the window's closing, though. Okay. Because I do think that with Booker, you have to figure Paul, after he did an absolute no-show and was a disaster and got destroyed by Doncic in Game 7. Doncic had 27 points in the first half of Game 7, and Paul did not score.
Mm-hmm.
And this is supposed to be one of the great point guards in the history of the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so you would think that would fuel Phoenix.
Right.
So they did win 64 games. So I would think, like Courtney said, I would think the window is still open. I just don't know what to do with the center. That's a very tricky call.
It's interesting. I'm glad you raised the point, because whatever's going on, Chris, with DeAndre Ayton in Phoenix, whatever personality conflict is going on, usually a guy like that about to get into the prime of his career in a new age NBA, that way he can play.
They give him the money.
They would have given him the money already. They haven't even been hesitant. They basically said, no, we're not giving this to DeAndre Ayton. Mm-hmm. Based on that alone, I'll say that their championship window is closing, because you and Courtney made the point in terms of the Western Conference. More than ever before, second by second, when it comes to professional sports, you can't just be in the middle. You either got to be here high, you got to be low. Phoenix right now is a high team that won 64 games in the regular season, like you mentioned. But now the question is that if they don't re-sign DeAndre Ayton, then who's going to replace him? Do you go after Rudy Gobert in free agency and bring to be a rim protector where he can do screen and roll but doesn't have the offensive skill set that DeAndre Ayton possesses? Chris Paul's not getting any younger. The NBA is getting younger, but Chris Paul's not getting any younger. And everybody now has a blueprint to say, if you attack him and wear out his legs, you're going to wear out that 37-year-old point guard.
Yeah.
He's not going to get to being an elite point guard once again because of his age. And that's not a knock on Chris Paul. That puts a lot more pressure on Devin Booker and Mikal Bridges. And they're hoping that whoever's the backup point guard, they get somebody else, or if they go with the young man behind Chris Paul, that he can do that. He's not ready to be a primetime player. When you got all those questions surrounding a team that won 64 games, and like you said, Luka Doncic has had his way. It looked like, you know, he made what I call circus shots. Well, you do that, and you can ride the elephant in a circus. And that's how he destroyed Phoenix in that Game 7. If that's going to continue to happen, that's why I think the championship window is closing.
That was one of the most embarrassing Game 7 home losses in the history of the NBA.
I agree.
They got booed off the court with a team that won 64 games and went down 40 at the half, whatever it was.
Yeah, that would have never happened in the 80s and 90s.
No.
Bob Cousy. Wouldn't have happened
that
with Bob Cousy.
That negated everything they had done.
You're not drawing me offside with the whole J.J. Redick thing. I'm not doing that.
All right, Courtney, come on in this, please. Please help me out here.
I mean, like, just take a look at everybody else's roster in the West. Take a look at the Golden State Warriors. Take a look at a team like the Clippers that all of a sudden now has, you know, incredible odds to contend for a championship. And, you know, like we've talked about, that's a team that has failed to meet expectations over the last few years in spite of the talent that they have on their roster. So if you're not getting better, if you're not being aggressive in trying to upgrade some of those spots, and, you know, like Mad Dog was talking about with Chris Paul at this point of his career and finding, you know, somebody else to be a pick and roll partner, if you do move on from DeAndre Ayton, I'm not so sure there's that many upgrades on the offensive side at that position. Rudy Gobert's not that guy. He's a rim protector for you, but DeAndre Ayton will give you more from an offensive standpoint. I'm not sure who they have in mind. Like, that's the thing that I try to rack my brain about here, because it feels like you have a young center who is an incredible two-way player. What's the problem? Why are you not giving him the extension? So is there something more that we don't know about? potentially. But this to me seems like a no-brainer. I just don't understand why they've been hedging this entire time. And they can't afford to do that because of what everyone else in the West, those who are actually contending for a championship, trying to chase where the Golden State Warriors are, everyone else is getting better. Dallas is going to get better. And yes, I know there's the whole Jalen Brunson thing that you guys talked about at the top of the show. They still have Luka Doncic. Memphis is a very good team. The Clippers look right now like they are a very good team in contending in the top half of the West next year. Where do you even fit the Suns in there? They were the number one seed last year, won 64 games in the regular season. Yet, if you were to list like 1 through 8 of the playoffs right now, I'm not so sure that you wouldn't have them as a play-in team next year.
Wow. Courtney is right about, you know, Zion Williamson in New Orleans. They're going to be better. Oklahoma City, that terrible team. They good drafting.
Great draft.
Need to,
yeah.
Throw in Denver with Murray. I mean, the 100%. You got to figure the Clippers. Wall goes there. Kawhi maybe plays 40 games. Mm-hmm. Can we expect that? How about 35?
Maybe 60. Yeah, maybe.
You got him.
We'll see.
Courtney's right. It's a very tough conference.
It's a very tough conference. That's a can we don't want to open right now. All right. Well, we're going to take it to a break.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Coming off of a Super Bowl appearance, Bengals running back Joe Mixon isn't lacking any confidence, telling CBS Bay Area, quote, "To be honest, I feel like we might be the hottest thing smoking in the NFL on Sundays. With the talent we got and who we added on this year, I feel like we're bound to have a hell of a season. The best thing about it is we've been there before and we know how to get there." So, Freddie, there's been a ton of movement in the league this offseason. Tons of new faces on new teams, but which team will be the most exciting this NFL season?
I love what Joe Mixon had to say. I like the confidence.
I mean, I'm digging the confidence.
That because nobody said about the Cincinnati Bengals ever in the history of the Cincinnati Bengals about them being the hottest thing smoking or being in consideration.
Smoking.
I still think it's the Kansas City Chiefs. And I know they don't have Tyreek Hill anymore, but as long as Patrick Mahomes is playing quarterback, he's still must-see TV for me. And we know Andy Reid is going to fortify him with guys. We got Travis Kelce, Mecole Hardman. They got Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who came over from the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. They're going to have guys that he'll be able to spread the ball around, and they're still going to look like what I call the Golden State Warriors of the National Football League, where they can make those three-point shots. They got their own Draymond Green version with that football team as well. Yep. I just love the way that they play, and we see their influence throughout other teams as well. So there are so many terrific teams offensively that are eye candy in the National Football League. I'm still going to go with those guys in the red and white when it comes to Kansas City because there's so much fun to watch.
I'm going to pick, when Mixon says hot, I think new. And since Kansas City's been around for 3 or 4 years right now, I won't put them. You certainly could. Right. I also won't put Buffalo. They've been in the playoffs, too.
Okay.
I'll take the Chargers.
Okay.
Now, I know that in L.A. nobody cares about the Chargers. And I understand that.
Maybe we can care about
them. The quarterback is great.
Mm-hmm.
Not Herbert. I'll tell you right now, he is great. And they're fun. They throw the ball down the field. How about that drive against the Raiders in Vegas at the end of the year? The 7 or 8 fourth down completions.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I love the helmets. I love the uniforms.
Great
so do I.
The stadium. Now, again, they're not. They're an afterthought in L.A., to be fair. But
a lot of
to me, there's a lot. Yeah, that's true, too.
The Rams
are an afterthought. That's hard to believe. But I'll take the Chargers because of the QB, the uniforms. And they haven't won in a long, long time.
Yeah.
So I'll take LA.
All right, Courtney, what about you?
That's a good choice.
Well, when I think of hottest things smoking, I think of the team that we all expect to win a Super Bowl next year. And as Vegas expects, that's the Buffalo Bills. Like, think back to how exciting that AFC divisional playoff game was between Kansas City and the Buffalo Bills. Gabriel Davis and his 4 touchdowns. Well, you got to give Brandon Bean a ton of credit for all that he did to upgrade an already good roster and make it elite. I would put that trio of Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis, and Jamison Crowder, who is a huge upgrade over Cole Beasley, up against any wide receiver trio in the NFL. And on top of that, they got James Cook in the draft to add some running back depth. O.J. Howard picked him up in free agency to add to their tight end room. And for a defense that was already really, really good last year, they had to figure out how to fix some of the problem areas of their pass rush. Von Miller is that guy. They gave him that massive contract because they anticipate him being a massive upgrade over Jerry Hughes in providing that defense an element that it might have been missing last year. Like, we already know that this is the best secondary in the NFL. Like, what's not to love? I can keep going on with all of the iterations of this team and what makes it great, but I think it stands on its own. Buffalo is exciting. And to Freddie's point about Kansas City, I love this rivalry. I'm looking forward to week six when these two teams play at Arrowhead. And then we could probably have this conversation even further to be like, all right, who is the most exciting, and I anticipate that game being as good, if not better, than what we saw in the AFC divisional playoffs.
To use your Bob Cousy argument for the youngins out there, it reminds me of the old AFL.
Oh, okay.
It really, really does.
There's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah, for those who don't know, Google AFL.
Oh, those games are phenomenal.
Oh, my
Chargers,
goodness.
Chargers, Chiefs, Jets with Namath.
Absolutely. Yeah. Keep going.
Raiders.
Keep rolling. Keep on. Preach that sermon, Pastor. Preach that sermon, Pastor.
Out there for the young kids.
Yeah, and that's what the AFC, not just the AFC
West. A lot
West,
of juice there.
But the AFC games are going to look like that.
A lot
that.
Of good teams.
A lot of terrific quarterbacks who are still young quarterbacks. Mm. Herbert, to me, is an elite quarterback.
Oh, I think
so, too. The Los Angeles Chargers. I know he's going to be in the league 2 years. I'm with you. He's an elite quarterback. You know you're in a good division when Russell Wilson, the guys who won a Super Bowl, may be the fourth best quarterback in his division behind Derek Carr of the Raiders, Justin Herbert of the Chargers, Patrick Mahomes of the Chiefs. Yeah. You got Josh Allen, like Courtney said, what they've been able to fortify him with the Buffalo Bills. I think Mac Jones will be better than New England Patriots. I think they'll open up the playbook a little bit for him. Now you also go, if Cleveland has whatever Deshaun Watson, whatever we're going to get, we know he can play. We know Joe Burrow can play with the Cincinnati
Jackson
Bengals.
Jackson with the Ravens.
Jackson with, no doubt. Lamar Jackson with the Ravens.
Pittsburgh's going to be in trouble. No quarterback.
No quarterback. Well, they're hoping that Mr. Trubisky will be high school Mr. Trubisky, not NFL Mr. Trubisky.
You and I both know.
It ain't happening. Exactly. Correct. There's no doubt about that. But there are going to be a lot of these games that are going to be 45-40 in late afternoon windows that are going to remind me a lot of old AFL games.
And how about, you don't think Howard Katz is smart, the NFL executive who does the football schedule?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Game one of the World Series this year is a Sunday night because of the lockout. October 30th. What's the Sunday night game? Green Bay at Buffalo.
Whoa.
Good luck with that.
Oh, boy.
How about that? Aaron Rodgers against Josh Allen.
I know.
For
your sake, the Yankees better be in the World Series to kind of level that off. Yeah, you need that. Yeah, you need that.
What about the Bengals? What can we expect from the Bengals?
You know, I use my whole theory, and I want to see what they're going to do when everybody now knows that the Bengals are that game on their schedule. They're no longer the homecoming opponent when it comes to Cincinnati. So I want to see Joe Mixon. I love his confidence, and, you know, you got Ja'Marr Chase. The defense is going to even be better. Joe Burrow.
Offensive line they fixed.
Absolutely. Yep. They had to fix it because they had five papier-mâché guys not blocking for their quarterback last year. But in terms of Cincinnati, I want to see how they handle success because remember the Cleveland Browns supposed to be that hot team? After Baker Mayfield played his rookie season, everybody talked about them.
They won one playoff game.
Got destroyed opening day at home versus Tennessee, and they never recovered.
We're still talking about
that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, not saying they're in the same situation, but I want to see how they handle that with all the talk leading by Joe Mixon.
Yeah.
I think he's right. I think, Freddie, I can't disagree with him. I would love to. I think there's a lot of pressure on the Bengals, and playing with the bullseye on your back is a lot different than coming out of nowhere and surprising people. They have 17 games, and every one of their games, the opponent, no matter how bad they are, hey, the Bengals are coming in. They got to the Super Bowl last year. Let's go.
Right.
Yeah.
And they have to respond to that, and that's a lot of football games to respond to. So you're 1,000% right.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Welcome back to First Take. We're in New York, so let's talk Yankees because they keep rolling and Aaron Judge keeps slugging. Judge currently leads MLB with 28 home runs, which puts him on pace for just over 60 home runs this season. Caesar Sportsbook has provided odds for Judge to break Roger Maris's American League home run record of 61 at plus 340. All right, Mad Dog, do you think Judge will hit 61 home runs?
Absolutely not.
No.
That's a terrible bet. If you made it, you're dumb.
All right.
There's no way. He's hit 61. And the reason he's not, well, there's two reasons. First off, I mean, the Yankees aren't going to play him enough games to hit all these home runs because nobody cares about the records anymore. I mean, Kershaw was taken out pitching a perfect game after six innings this year with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
People aren't that wrapped up in the personal records, especially in baseball. I love this stuff. So do you, Freddie. You want records. It's history.
Yeah.
And these teams and these franchises and these players could care less. And remember, too, Maris is 61 and Henry is at 755.
Mm-hmm.
The Bonds thing is ridiculous. No baseball fan in America thinks that the home run record is 73 home runs. Roger had it in 61 and Henry had it with the 755. But Judge is not going to get there. He's not going to play enough games, number one. Number two, the Yankees are not going to need him in the month of September. He's going to give him days off. And as a result, he'd be, and then you get the pressure.
Okay.
You know, once you get to 55, those last six home runs, there's a lot of pressure. And he's a Yankee doing it in New York with Maris, who's an ex-Yankee. There is no chance. The Yankees aren't going to let him get near it. No chance he's hitting the 61 home runs. None.
Number one, I agree. Number two, I'll use my take as a question to you. Why do you think people don't care about those things?
Yeah.
Like they used to.
I think they're worried, or they're paying them so much money. Mm. They're worried about wearing the player out. They're worried about somebody getting hurt. They're worried about pitch counts and overload as far as 162 games. But it's a major problem with the sport. How many games in baseball? It's in all sports. The NBA player doesn't play 70 games, 80 games either.
That's true.
How many players in baseball do you see pitching a no-hitter or a perfect game and they take him out of the game because he's got a pitch count? I mean, do you think Sandy Koufax would take himself out of a game, or Bob Gibson, or Juan Marichal, or Tom Seaver?
Right.
It's a joke. And then, of course, the home runs is a disaster. You would think the Yankees would love the idea that they can make the single-season home run mark, get it away from the steroid guy Bonds, and put it back in the Bronx. Yet you know and I know there is no way, middle of September, they're going to rest him. He's not going to buy the pressure because their eyes, the bigger picture is postseason.
Well,
so they're not
going to
pressure
like
him.
Discussed earlier.
That's why they will not allow him to do it. I think it's a major problem.
All right, what about
sports.
You, Courtney?
Okay. Wow.
They have a better chance of closing in on the Mariners' win record than Aaron Judge does on hitting 60 home runs this year. If there's anybody who could do it, it's Aaron Judge. We know he has all the power in the world, and he'll have the opportunities throughout the regular season. Mad Dog, he's in the one or two spot most nights, right? So,
just
I mean, those opportunities will be there for him, but home runs are down this year in Major League Baseball. This is kind of this new dead ball era, so I think that will factor into it, on top of the fact that we know baseball is a petty sport, so nobody wants to be the guy who gives up 60 or 61 to Aaron Judge, so when it gets close to that, teams will walk him. And on top of that, too, I'm with you guys in terms of how much money he's going to command, and they have to think about the finances for next season as well. I mean, we know that Aaron Judge and the arbitration case that's ongoing and what we just found out this past week. So I think that he'll get close. Maybe I'll put it at like 57, 58, but he's not going to get 60 this year.
100%. Courtney hit it right on the head. There's a lot of reasons. You know, he's not going to see fastballs.
Nope.
Now, the Yankees have a good lineup, I know, but the Yankees, I do think out of the way it is, Yankees could get to 116. But they're not even going to try too hard to do that. You know, they're not going to try.
Seattle's
getting lost.
Yeah.
In the Indians won 111 and lost. There's no correlation to win the amount of regular season games and then winning a World Series. That's why baseball is good in the postseason.
Yeah.
Because
right.
it's unpredictable.
Right.
It's like the NHL. You're the huge hockey person with the goalie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very unpredictable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Football and basketball is much more predictable.
Yeah. Sure.
The baseball, anything goes in that postseason. You get a hot pitcher. Ball bounces the wrong way. And so the Yankees are not, they might get there. They don't even want to win 116 games. If you told the Yankees right now win 105 games and that's the end of it, they would take that like you wouldn't believe.
They won't win a championship.
All the things, real quick, all the things you said are so special about Major League Baseball is what Major League Baseball is not doing.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
a major, major problem. Yep. All the things that you were able to pontificate about Major League Baseball right now.
A major problem.
That should be candy to a young person, 12 to 24. But Major League Baseball doesn't do that. They don't tell you how special things are, not just by using the past, but right now. They still outdraw, their postseason games outdraw NBA games. The only postseason games that outdraw Major League Baseball games are NFL playoff games and the Super Bowl. But yet, Major League Baseball doesn't talk about the specialness of their sport. You got a guy with the most most popular franchise in the world in Aaron Judge going for a potential home run record. Crickets from Major League Baseball, and that's a major problem.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, give Judge a little abuse here. He's not going to participate in the home run derby.
And he should.
Now, if you're Aaron Judge, for the good of the game, don't let me hear about the swing. I mean, well, you know, screw them, that's a bunch of nonsense. I mean, for the good of the game, you're telling me he can't go to Dodger Stadium, and it's on our network, and he can't participate in the home run derby? Trout's not going to probably do it either.
Nope.
Don't you want to market the sport? That's a huge night. People watching Judge at home runs over the pavilion in L.A.
Pete Alonso.
And they're not gonna, Alonso, that's another thing. Going up against the Met. So there's so many marketing issues, and Freddie hit on it, that baseball, the records, though, drive me crazy. Because I'm a baseball fan. I want to see records. I don't see them anymore.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to go from one coast to the other and pivot to the NBA. The Warriors currently sit atop of the 2023 title odds, with three of the top six teams never having won a championship. Now we got the Clippers, Nets, and the Suns, and the Clippers opened at plus 850, now sit at plus 700, and the third best odds after the John Wall news. Here's an excited Steve Ballmer on his team's outlook.
Come on, man. Not only your best player, but one of the preeminent handful of top players in the world. I'm really excited about that. And, you know, Kawhi's in the gym, he's working, and we got our fingers crossed. Everything keeps going on schedule.
How much are you dying just to see this team healthy for not just the full season, but the entire postseason, too? Because you really kind of haven't had a chance to see that.
I think we stay healthy next year. We're going to be having a chance to talk way late into the spring season. How's that?
All right, we had a handful of emotions just there. Now, Freddie, are you buying this Clippers legit title threats?
No, but I want what he has.
I want what he has.
Steve Ballmer.
I want to sip what he's having.
What's the old line from the movie? You know, I'll have what she's having. Exactly. I'll have what he's having from that standpoint.
A lot of emotions.
There are a lot of owners in sports, Mad Dog, Courtney, and Victoria. Mm-hmm. Steve Ballmer's one of my favorite guys. Because
he's got personality.
And he's the ultimate fan that owns a team but enjoys everything about it. But he mentioned the key word there, if we are healthy, the key words, if we are healthy. And that is something that even he knows. If Kawhi Leonard is healthy, there's no guarantee he's going to play 65 or 70 games because they want to rest him with the playoffs to minimize the risk of him being injured. Paul George had his injury issues last year, and I thought Paul George was fantastic carrying this basketball team. And now you're hoping that John Wall can be, if he's 1/4 or 1/5 of what he had been the Washington Wizards, that's going to help them out a little bit. But yeah, I'm not going to buy them, not saying legitimate title contenders, I just don't see them winning an NBA championship because, unfortunately, and I hate to do this, the Clippers are going to clip. Something is going to happen. Where, you know what they're going to be like? Yeah. They're going to be like Charlie Brown on the mound. Use your baseball analogy. They're going to be Charlie Brown on the mound, and he's thinking the fastball is going to work, and next thing you know, the ball hits him, all his clothes fly off. That always seems to happen with the Clippers at a certain point. I'm hoping that's not the case. I love Steve Ballmer and what they've been able to do. They're legitimate title contenders. I just don't see them winning a championship next year.
I like the bet. Plus 700. Is that what it was? I like that. I would take a run at it. Ballmer should be careful because this is a star-crossed franchise. Something always goes wrong, and they've had a lot of bad luck, so he shouldn't put pressure on him, and he should lay low. We'll see how we do. You know, he's almost putting some extra pressure. He shouldn't do that, and he's making Wall out to be, can I see Wall play 60 games? He hasn't played in 2 years, but if Wall is effective and motivated, you bring Leonard into the mix. You got George. They have a pretty good nucleus. They should have beaten the Pelicans in that play-in thing. They lost a terrible loss when they had a big lead in the fourth quarter. But they have a chance to be a very, very good team. But Kawhi has to play.
Yep.
And when he does play, he's top three or four guys in the NBA. But he's got to play. And he's got, I mean, the last time we saw Kawhi, they collapsed against Denver in the bubble. And then they got hurt last year against Utah. He plays, they could be very, very good.
All right, Courtney, legit?
Yeah.
Not so much.
Not yet. I won't say that I'm going to, like, put them over the other, like, three teams that I had mentioned, Warriors, Mavs, and Grizzlies in the West, but their entire postseason hopes rest on whether Kawhi Leonard can stay healthy. And I mean, Paul George, they got 31 games out of him last year. Injuries have not been kind to the Clippers, but when it comes to John Wall and the upgrade that they made, we don't know if he's going to start at the point guard position or if he's going to come off the bench. This is a team that likes to shoot off passes. They were 39.4% on catch and shoot threes. That was the best in the NBA last year. So I think that there are signs there that are pointing to this team being one of the best in the West. Will they contend for a title? Their window is open right now. But I'm with Freddie. This team clippers too often for me to go all in on them just yet.
They've been clipped off, you know?
Although going back to the Golden State Warriors, it's become a verb, unfortunately. Yeah. Uh-huh. Going back to the point about the Golden State Warriors, how really weird is it to imagine that 2 years ago this organization had 15 wins? Mm. 2 years later, talking about that, you know, the Golden State Warriors are back running the NBA. If somebody told you that they would be in a better position than a team led by LeBron James in Los Angeles, they would have told you that you were out of your rabbit behind mind when it came to that.
But just a year ago, a lot of people, including on this show, were ruling out Golden State winning a title.
And Steph Curry remembered.
Yeah.
He did the whole, he remembered.
Yeah. Good point. Mm-hmm. And they lost to Memphis in that playing game
Absolutely.
Last year.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
mm-hmm.
Curry did a heck of a job. It'll be interesting to see what their motivation is. But I think the Clippers got a chance. Again, Western Conference is going to be very, very good.
Yep.
But the Clippers, if they are into it, and they play some games, all right? And not 40 games. Play some ball games.
Yeah.
They play
yeah.
65, 70 games, the three of them together. He's a good coach.
Tyloo's really good.
He's a good coach.
Really
good. They do that, they could be very dangerous in the postseason. They really could.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Mad Dog. You'll be back here
tomorrow. You're
going
to get me back-to-back days.
Still to come, the Warriors.
Do some homework!
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
2019 was when Steph really locked in on the weight room. And so that's where he kind of starts taking that bump and kind of bumping it up a little bit. And although it didn't show immediate, because then 2020 we were terrible and he broke his hand, you started to see in 2021 we were still terrible, but Steph was carrying us and he carried us to a play-in game and we didn't get past it. It was probably great because we would have got swept and that would have been the first series we ever got swept. So thank God we didn't make it. But I think you started to see it then, that growth, and like, oh man, nobody can stop this dude now. And I think that really changed the complexity of our organization, and I'm pretty certain that's why we'll win three of the next four NBA championships.
All right, Draymond continuing his whirlwind tour after winning that fourth championship game. And he's talking big game, Freddie. How many titles do you think Golden State will win in the next 4 years?
Well, this is breaking news, Draymond Green talking a big game. Never saw that coming from Draymond Green from that standpoint. But you know what? When you're – what you've been able to do as a Golden State Warriors organization, you should have that confidence. I could see them getting two in the next 4 years. I can see them getting two because – the West is only going to get tougher and tougher. As great as Steph is going to continue to be, as great as Klay is going to continue to be, and Klay's going to have a bounce back year next year, the year removed from the injury, and Draymond's going to be Draymond. Now you got Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins. I can see them winning two in the next 4 years. But if they win three titles in a four-year stretch, they will officially qualify as a dynasty. They just won't be on the outside of it winning four championships in 8 years. You win three in the next 4 years, that's seven titles in a 12-year period. That becomes a dynasty when it comes to Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, what about you, Courtney?
I think they're already a dynasty, but I agree with Freddie. I mean, if they win three in the next 4 years, they're on another planet. But, you know, I know we've talked so much about how good the Western Conference is, but let's not forget there's some really good teams on the other side of that in the East. I think their window's open right now. You've got guys like Jonathan Kuminga, James Wiseman, Jordan Poole, who are licking their chops after winning this last one, thinking, let's go. Stephen Curry can play this way until he's 40. This team's window is going to stay open, but it's only a window to contend. I think that they'll win one more in that stretch that Draymond Green's talking about, the next 4 years, but they'll probably be in at least two NBA finals in that stretch.
Think how well they've drafted. Yeah. I mean, look at the guys they've drafted between, like you mentioned, Jonathan Kuminga. James Wiseman hasn't played yet, and they think he has a tremendous skill level with this basketball team. You go back to Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Kevon Looney. This organization has been unbelievable, not only drafting players, but making Steph Curry an icon. Yeah, it's on him to be that kind of player as well. But the fact that they were able to have him flourish in that fashion, Victoria and Courtney, it's unbelievable how Golden State's been able to draft well, and then you add in Andre Iguodala and Andrew Wiggins to fortify those pieces.
Can they go back to back, though?
That's yeah, I think that they could. I mean, because like Freddie had mentioned, you're going to get Klay Thompson back, probably to the level that he was more closely like pre-injury. He has an entire offseason now to work on his game. They've unlocked another level of Andrew Wiggins. Like, I think that this roster can only get better, and they've probably got the best chance of any team. And we saw the Vegas odds to contend and to win it next year. So, yeah, I say they can go back-to-back.
Yeah, my gut agrees with Courtney, and my gut has agreed with Courtney ever since the season ended because they got a taste of that again, and they want to bore people to death by winning. And especially when they proved to everybody else that they could come back and be a championship team. My gut right now says that they are the team to beat, and they're going to win another NBA championship.
But when?
Next year. They'll go back to back. I'm with Courtney. I'm with it. They'll make it back to back, and then they'll be in the heads of the Memphis Grizzlies renting space instead of the other way around.
Oh.
Hey, they said it. Don't look at me that way. I didn't say it. The Grizzlies said they were renting space in the Warriors' head.
Every single one of them saying a lot.
Oh, Freddie's the bad guy now.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, no, Freddie is not the bad guy, but that's going to do it for First Take. For Courtney Cronin, Brian Windhorst, Freddie Coleman, Tori Arlen, thanks for hanging with us.